Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End, brought to you by The Athletic. It's Friday night, and you know what? We haven't had Friday nights where Watford are playing on the television away, and you can't make it up after work, and you just want to meet up with your mates at the pub, have a beer, and talk about football. So that's exactly what we're going to do on this here podcast. My name is John, and with me is Mike.
And unfortunately, so far, this Watford performance is putting me off my Friday night dinner.
Well, it is 23 minutes into Watford nil, away at Stoke, who are also on nil. And yeah, it's not the greatest. Jason is here also.
Good evening.
And Colin.
Good evening.
We're looking at this team so far, and it's... We had, you know, you see the teams come out. You go, oh yeah, I reckon that's a 4-3-3, and then someone says, oh, I think it's a 4-4-2. You know, and it started a little bit weird, hasn't it, Jason, with where everyone's playing, and it's not settled at all, has it?
No, not at all. We saw the lineup, and I think on the WhatsApp group and on another WhatsApp group I'm on, we're all assuming it's going to be 4-3-3.
Go on, Hughesy, that's it.
But it certainly started with a 4-4-2. With Cleverley starting on the right, appears, or he had gone to the left and Saar had gone to the right. Now it looks like Cusey's on the left with Saar on the right. And it really is, it's taking the word fluid to the extreme, I feel. I do like a fluid team.
It's
but
a high viscosity. No, low viscosity.
Jay, can I ask a question of all of you then, just on that point? Why in that right midfield role are we not playing Philip Zinkernagel from the start?
Don't know. I would expect him. If it was 4-4-2, you'd expect him to start, either right or left. So him on one side, Saar on the other.
Semmer's not in the squad at all, but you'd expect, you know, Zinkernagel with his quick feet, attacking intent, his assist record, you'd have thought that he'd be a shoo-in for trying to create something, wouldn't you? It's peculiar.
Colin?
Semmer's been rested. They said that on the build-up on Hornet Hive. So I don't think he's injured. He's just been rested. He has played a lot of football. Zinkernagel played 30 minutes, which is the ideal setup for a game 3 days later, you would think. He's experienced the match, we've won the game, and he's there, he's ready to go on. We've just moved the ball out to Saar on the right-hand side, and he's just crossed it in, and he's hit the first man, gone out for a Watford throw-in. But so it is a bit of... It's perplexing when you... Because we know that Cleverley and Hughes are not wide players. In fact, Hughes doesn't have the pace to play wide, to my mind. He's much better centrally organising people and spraying the ball left and right. You put him out wide and he's easy to defend against because he really hasn't got any pace. So it is perplexing why Zinkernagel isn't on the pitch. We can only hope that Munoz is thinking, well, I'm just going to hold him back and release him, you know, once the Stoke players maybe are getting a bit tired. But, it's an odd one.
You know, it might be the fact that he played his season until not that long ago. So he has played football for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And he might not quite be, they think, up to the rigours of the Championship quite yet for the full 90 minutes. But it's interesting the fact that they don't start with him and make changes rather than don't start with him and then put him into the team.
I mean, it's ironic, isn't it? We started talking after, 25 minutes, and all of a sudden Watford have got into the opposition half, which is why we might be a little bit hesitant.
But well, Michael, there was many years where every time we started recording many podcasts, Watford did score goals.
So this might be it.
Hang on.
There goes... Oh, no. Pedro, bless you, mate.
But I just wonder whether the fact that, you know, it's taken 23, 24, 25 minutes for Watford to really have any amount of time at all out of their own half, that... that suggests what the game plan is, and that in turn would explain why Zinchenko isn't playing, is that they're just there to soak up pressure and hopefully hit Stoke on the break. You can only assume, I guess, that that's the game plan, because really, for the first, at least for the first 20 minutes, while Stoke haven't really had many clear-cut chances, well, any really, but it has been all Stoke, hasn't it, for the first quarter of the game.
Well, we'll see how this sort of pans out. But of course, the thing you always do on a Friday night when you're in the pub and having a chat, you do talk about what's happening on the television, but you have those like weird conversations, don't you, about the slightly obscure, let's say. And we asked you for on Twitter for some what I call non-serious questions, and you got some beauties. Thank you so much. There's one that we was asked of us, and then somebody answered it, and I was a little bit like, I don't think you quite... No, that's not... That, no, you're wrong. So we asked for some non-serious questions, and we've got a few we're going to bring up. We've got a question from Dorota at WFC Mumsy, and it's interesting. Which Watford player would be most likely to win Dancing with the Stars, I'm a Celebrity, X Factor, and be the next Member of Parliament? It's quite interesting because we had one reply from Wirral Hornet, Steve. So, Steve, thank you so much for getting involved, but you're completely wrong. Dancing with the Stars, or, you know, Strictly Come Dancing, he says Disco Cali. I'm sorry. You're not thinking about what it takes to win this. Would he be a good character, a good participant? In his prime, absolutely he would. But I don't think he could do the full story all the way through. And I've just got to go Ben Foster. I think he'll have the stamina. All the cycling, Ben Foster, I think he'll have the commitment, the freedom. We've seen the freedom he has, the jokey side of him we've seen through his YouTube channel. I think Ben Foster has everything it takes.
John, you've pulled up Steve for his suggestion. I'm going to pull you up for your suggestion there.
Go on, then.
So we're seeing him up top this evening. So we're talking about dancing. So you need quick feet. You need to have been brought up with rhythm and an understanding of how important music is. And for me, for a dancing show, look no further than our boy from Brazil, João Pedro.
I'm
going with João Pedro. I'll tell you why, because he's very young, he's very good looking, everyone's going to want to vote for him. He's a lovely, smiley guy. I bet he can dance the backside off a donkey.
And I tell you what else, John, I think you mentioned Ben Foster. I think he would be a shoo-in for I'm a Celebrity. Good guy, willing to muck
good
in.
Chat.
Yeah, nice to have around the place, willing to sort of have a giggle. He'll get the tasks done. We'll see more of it, you know, that famous meme where he goes, woo-hoo! We'll see some more of that when he's putting his hands in buckets of mealworms and stuff.
Up the cockroaches!
I am firmly going to go for João Pedro for any dancing-based ones, and Super Benny Foster for I'm a Celebrity, especially as he's out with an injury at the moment.
I was going to say, I know who wouldn't win Strictly Come Dancing. That'd be Ishmael Assar, because he'd be tripping over his partner's feet.
Jason, no, harsh, so harsh. The other one is Member of Parliament. Who has the personal ability, and you know, to get the votes and then to be able to do such a high value role? Colin, who? Past or present?
Two candidates, I think, out of the present squad. One is Tom Cleverley, I think would make a great MP, but I'm actually going to plump for Truce de Kong, because he's got that big personality. I think he could win people over. I think he's a man who likes... he looks to me like a man who can get things done. If he was standing in my constituency, I would definitely consider voting for him, definitely.
OK, so there you go, WFC Mumsy.
I've got an MP for you. I was going to say Andre Gray, because he seems to be very good at making mistakes in both his public and private life.
Hashtag satire.
Oh, well, it's still 0-0. It's just gone 32 minutes. Let's see how this Friday night cat continues.
A Watford FC podcast brought to you by The Athletic. This is From the Rookery End.
It's half time now, and there's some lovely adverts on the television. But what's been happening on the pitch? The answer is not lots of lovely things on the pitch, is it, Mike? It's just... it's just a nothingness, really, isn't it?
The problem I've had with Watford for the majority of this season is, and this sort of was brought into sharp focus on Tuesday night before the Barnsley game. Part of my role for Opta is I have to research the opposition formation and work out how they're going to play and report that back. And Barnsley played 3-4-3, 3-4-3, 3-4-3, 3-4-3, 3-4-3, virtually every time this season, with a clear game plan, a clear set of tactics. And I thought that showed to a degree on Tuesday. They knew where they wanted to be. They knew what they wanted to deliver. They knew where each other were going to be. They were comfortable in their own skin. And it struck me, you've never really got it with Watford this year, that they felt like they know, everyone on the pitch knows what their job is and knows that they can rely on each other, knows what they have to do to try and move the sort of game forward, try and win the game. At home, we've done a good job of nicking most games. We've got an incredible home record. But away from home, it disintegrates almost entirely. And that, unfortunately, has been the case again this evening, watching the game at Stoke. There just doesn't seem to be any shape. We've already talked about the sort of the slightly odd choice of personnel. We're just seeing replays now. The foul on Adam Messina in the penalty area. I mean, why that wasn't a penalty is beyond me. But if that was a penalty and we did score it, I think it would have flattered us enormously, because there's just no... I don't really know what they're trying to achieve. The shape seems to be missing. There's no dynamism. There's no cut and thrust. And whilst, yeah, we've managed to stay in the game, Stoke haven't scored, which is obviously good. But they have, you know, they've had sniffs. Batman hasn't had saves to make, but there's been a couple of decent shots off target. There's a ball flashed across the middle, and they probably should have at least got a shot on target. So it's just a huge concern, and to be honest, it baffles me how a team who is so good at home, albeit without being the finished article, can then go away and just look so devoid of shape, inspiration and threat, really. It's quite astonishing to watch in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Opta Joe tweeted early on, Watford are the lowest scoring away team in the Championship with 5 goals, but scored more at home than any other side with 23. But Jason, I suppose that the big question is, what are you going to do to change it? And, you know, what can we do to add a little something to this team? Find some sort of focus to go and score a goal, hopefully.
I think the obvious thing, I think, is probably bring on the zinc man.
Element 20.
We were talking about that before and sort of questioning as to why you wouldn't bring him in without Sema anywhere near the squad. So... yeah, come on, let's give Zinc Man a go. We've heard all about him. I'm sure we've all seen how good he is on YouTube, which is a very dangerous thing. What we need to do, we need to see him out on the pitch and get a decent amount of game time. And this looks like the perfect opportunity for him to come in. We can see that we're using a central midfielder in one of those wide positions. It isn't quite working. So let's stop putting round pegs in square holes. Let's get a winger on the pitch to play in that wide position, and then perhaps we'll be able to play more to our MO, because our MO so far under Cisco has been to get it wide and use the wingers. So how will that work if you're playing a central midfielder in one of those key positions? Let's get Zinc on and let him show us what he can do.
Yeah, who taking off though, Jason? Is it Troy Deeney? Because I'm not quite sure if he's really playing in this game. He's very quiet.
You know, you could do, because you could take him off. He's been dropping deep quite a lot, but still not really been involved as much as we'd like him to. So perhaps you could push Hughes into that position and leave Chalobah and Cleverley in central midfield behind him, and sort of almost play at a 4-2-3-1, because we're effectively doing that anyway, the amount of times that sort of Troy's dropping deep, with Pedro sort of on the... on the shoulder of the last man defence, trying to get him behind. But we're not really getting him behind either, are we? So it's a tricky one. I think I would take either Deeney or maybe Chalobah off if you're going to stick to a 4-4-2. I mean, if you want to take Deeney off, why not bring Gray on? What do you think of that?
Colin?
Yeah, that would be my shout. Get Deeney off, get Gray on, get Chalobah off. He's given the ball away about 4 or 5 times in dangerous areas right in front of our box. Get the Zinc man on. Just revert to the Hughes-Cleverley central midfield partnership, which has been working really well. very kind of active and lively and dynamic against Barnsley. And really, once we got hold of that game, they really bossed it in that area. Chalobah tends to slow things down, doesn't make his decisions very quickly. When he does, he tends to pass it inaccurately, often giving the ball away or getting it nicked off him. So for me, Chalobah off gets Nkunagu on in a wide position, presumably down the left, because, you know, Sarr's favourite position is on the right. And I would have Deeney off. Deeney really hasn't affected the games very much. He has scored his penalties, but in the Barnsley game, the game before that, haven't really seen him really affecting the opposition in the way that he used to and helping us. He doesn't hold the ball up. He doesn't get in behind. When he comes short and receives it, he doesn't seem to know exactly what he wants to do with it. He sort of dwells on the ball and then tries to find a pass. He's really not being very effective. So I would go all out with Gray, stick him on the shoulder of the Stoke defender and try and get that ball through to him. But playing a central midfielder on the width, when you've got a wide player sitting on the bench, that doesn't make any sense to me. So hopefully we'll see one or either or both of those changes.
Well, let's see what happens. This is quite the interesting thing because we're doing this podcast. We're recording it as the game goes on. Will our predictions be right or will they be completely wrong? That will be fun for you to find out as this goes on. We've got a couple more questions. Quick fire, lads. Colin, Peter Lee asks, what's the weirdest thing you've heard a bloke behind you say at a game?
So in the 2015-2016 season, the first Premier League season under Quique Sanchez Flores, the chap before me, around Christmas time, he stood up and the game wasn't going very well. And he said to his mate standing next to him, "I don't know why everyone's getting on Gerardo's back."
Well, that might be the one good game he had. Maybe that was just a coincidence.
No, okay. He wasn't having a good game.
My favourite thing was this guy launched into a long story. It's not football related, but it's made me laugh for the 15 years since. He was telling a story about how he went out in the middle of the night to get something. I think it was for his girlfriend or his partner. He said, "Oh, yeah, I went down there, went to the 24-hour garage." So bear in mind, this is a 24-hour garage, yeah? I've got dressed, put my clothes on, middle of the night, driven down to the 24-hour garage. And what did I find at this 24-hour garage? It was shut. And he just sort of, I can't remember what game it was. It was obviously about as entertaining as Stoke v Watford 2021. But he went up this long sort of spiel and then just the punchline was delivered perfectly. So that was the best thing I've heard behind me.
I sit behind me sits Jason's missus and her mum. And the first few minutes are always there, like catching up conversations, which aren't particularly worth telling, but they're quite fun to sort of, "Oh, have we doing that this week? Oh, that's quite interesting." I do chirp in every so often.
You only get that for 5 minutes. I get that all the bloody time.
Do you know my favourite thing in a football crowd is when it's not going very well. We're not, a bit like tonight, we're not really creating very much, giving the ball away and giving away sort of half chances, exactly like tonight. And people get up and the whole crowd rises and has a go at the lino or has a go at the keeper for not doing something or, you know, just shouting at the team to attack. And then it all goes completely silent. And then one guy, it happened to me sitting in the rookery, one guy just stands up and goes completely mental. Can't even understand what he's saying, but completely on his own without, and everyone just stands and looks at him. And the guy next to me said, "Yeah, every man's got his breaking point."
that used to be me, you know. My brother used to be...
The solo rant?
Yeah, and Andy used to be genuinely... I mean, he loves me, obviously. He's my brother, and we love each other, but he used to think twice about going to games with me. He was ashamed of me more often than not. I think it was a period probably during the 90s when there wasn't much going on, so the atmosphere wasn't ever particularly sort of raucous and noisy, and I would never think twice about just standing up and unloading the most ungodly sort of tirade of, and to be honest, it was probably completely nonsensical and unfounded. But yeah, I just carried on and I'd sit down and Andy would be sort of looking the other way, have his head in his hands, or just have left completely.
Jace, what about this one though? Question from Baldo. He wants to know, who out of the Watford, past or present, would you like to bubble with? Have part of your social bubble?
So out of all the thousands of Watford players?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say Steve Harrison because he'd make it a good laugh. It's a difficult time for everyone. We need someone to keep us happy, to keep us entertained, and I'm sure Steve Harrison, he's well known for that, so I think he'd do a good job of that.
I was going to go with Martin Taylor. I just think we'd have some good, deep conversations but have a bit of a laugh at the same time.
Tony Mike, Cohen big for me.
Tony going, oh, God, I don't know about that. Mike, here, this is from Cameron. Cameron Smart. He says, which would be the better WrestleMania headline? Was it Messina against Pearson or Deeney against Ivic?
Oh, it's a good one, isn't it? I'd like to see Messina against Pearson, but I think that was very mythical, isn't it? So that would fit into the wrestling canon quite nicely. I'm not sure it's a good one. Do you know what? It doesn't sit nicely with me, this question, sort of Watford player on Watford player. So I'm going to... My headline bout, WrestleMania 38, make it happen, Vince. Harry the Hornet against Wilfred Zaha.
Perfect.
I was gonna go for Boothroyd versus Fitz Hall.
Because
they obviously both Watford connections, but they weren't both at Watford at the same time. So that one sits a bit more nicely for me.
Well, the second half has started. We'll see if our tips and for Cisco are going to happen, and if this game can be turned around from being a bit of a nothing game to being a something or another.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the Rookery End, a podcast about life following Watford FC.
Remember to get your subscription to The Athletic for only $3.99 a month. That's half price. You just need to go to theathletic.com/rookeryend, where if you subscribe, we look quite good because they know it comes from you being a listener to From the Rookery End. There you can check out all the stories that are written about Watford, keeping up to date with everything that's going on, everything that's seriously going on in the transfer market with Adam Leventhal and his coverage. There's a fantastic interview, though, that he did this week. We spoke about it on the midweek podcast, but he caught up with Jonathan Bond, who's off to sunnier climes in Los Angeles. But it's, of course, all the world-class journalism and world-class writing that you get from The Athletic. Again, that's going to theathletic.com/rookeryend. And if you do subscribe, of course, if you have the Athletic app, you get these podcasts absolutely ad-free. So take out the offer today. There's a lot of Watford podcasts out there now. We aren't the only one. Do get your ears around as many as you can. And, of course, the one that's been around with us quite a while now is Hornet Heaven. Colin is the narrator and the voice of all the characters in Hornet Heaven, written by Ollie Wicken. And in this episode, it's about the many pleasures of football that have nothing to do with kicking the ball. And this clip is where Henry discovers that Bill Mainwood is a groundhopper.
My goodness, Henry said. Where have you brought me? To my favourite football ground in the world, Henry. I just enjoy being here. I'm a bit like that with football grounds, you see, Henry. I like them for their own sake. Really? You're not one of these, what do you call them now? Groundhoppers, are you? I really didn't have you down as an unwashed, social inadequate in a duffel coat and bad slacks and bad trainers, clutching a plastic carrier bag containing a pencil, a notebook and a Tupperware box of white bread sandwiches. Well, I do try to hide it, Henry. Those of us who aren't quite in the mainstream of fans tend to get a fair bit of... Ha! You're a secret saddo. abuse. I bet you keep a tally of how many grounds you've been to with Watford. Oh, you've got me bang to rights there, Henry. Watford have played league matches at the homes of 124 clubs, and I've been to them all. It sounds like you do well to keep it suppressed most of the time, old thing. Well, I did struggle to keep a lid on it between 1971 and 1983, when Watford played on 92 grounds in 12 years. Yeah, that was a very heady time. Marvellous! Good old nerdy Bill.
Here we go. We have just had a moment, which we don't normally hear when we're recording the podcast, but it is a penalty for Watford. Mike, any worries about a penalty for Watford?
Yeah, this is exactly... if Watford were going to score, this is exactly what I didn't want to happen. All this talk about Troy going straight down the middle, I thought, well, next time he has a penalty, it will play on his mind. And lo and behold, a couple of days later, he stepped up, straight down the middle, 1-0, get him! Come on, you
yes.
all!
Oh, Troy. Okay, absolutely. He's only just taking it now on my feed. Yeah! What a slight delay with this.
And he's done exactly as he always done. He's smashed it straight down the middle. The keeper has, well, he hasn't. He's put it to the right. But what he does, he hits it so hard that, as we saw on Tuesday night, even if the keeper gets it, the likelihood is that he's not going to stop it, or he's just going to dislocate his wrist. So, well done, Troy. Watford have broken through, and it all came through. We did break through, and Saar got in and put the goalkeeper under pressure. He wasn't able to deal with it, and it looked like he might have been fouled for a penalty. But then João Pedro broke onto the loose ball and was brought down by the keeper. He was complaining that he didn't touch him. I don't think he can have any complaints whatsoever. So it does go to show that when we do get into the penalty area with the ball, we can cause problems with these players we've got. It just doesn't happen often enough.
It's the first time that we've seen them really get, you know, men forward in numbers. And, you know, they suddenly did look a bit panicky, that Stoke back line. It was a lovely little sort of dink over the top to Saar, wasn't it? It took out all the defenders, and he made the run, got on it, got his foot on it, brought it down, but there was no space for him to really get the shot off. But we were a bit lucky there. It just went wide and Pedro came in. But yeah, it just shows when we have that ambition and we get four or five men forward, we can really put the opposition under pressure. Just haven't done it enough, really.
Well, I'm just saying, lads, I'm just pointing it out. I'm not sure if it's the actual reason, but it was 4 minutes or a couple of minutes after Zinchenko came on. And we did say, get the boy on the pitch. And look, the game has changed.
I mean, it's important to say that we were quite negative about the first half. And that's, I think we were perfectly entitled to do so. But what I didn't say was that, you know, what we have done is we've given ourselves a foundation away from home. If you can't be leading, if you're not losing, then you're in with a decent shout, especially if you can start being a little bit more threatening. And we mentioned it off mic, didn't we, as the second half wore on, that they did look like they stepped the tempo up a little bit and they were starting to make more inroads. And you made the point, John, that Zinchenko, slightly tongue-in-cheek, that happened so quickly afterwards. But, you know, him coming on does give Watford a better and more interesting dynamic in the middle of the pitch. And now it'll be fascinating to see what they do now. 66 minutes gone, whether they sort of try and hold what they have, or which I guess they will, won't they? Try and hit Stoke on the break. It's been the story of the game so far. Things aren't going to change that much, but yeah, glad to be ahead, but really fascinating to see how they cope having nicked that.
So so my question to you lads is a bit flippant, but just thinking, Troy, once he's finished playing football, what about a special team spot on an NFL side taking the the field goals? Because if he can hit a ball that hard, he can probably clear the post from about 60 yards.
He wouldn't be the first ex-Watford player to do that, would he?
Who's the other one?
Didn't Tony Miola.
Go on then, boys. Not Tony Miola, no.
Clive Allen, but he never played for us.
No.
For the London Monarchs, didn't he?
Yeah, there was a Watford player that went to the NFL. I think he played for the Jets. And
Tony Miola tried out for the Jets.
Broncos.
Who, Jason? Who?
David James?
It was no. He was a bit earlier than that. I think he was a place kicker in the '70s. Played for Watford in the '60s, I think.
Ooh, wow! This is deep knowledge, Jace.
Who is it, Jason?
It is. I think.
Oh! Yeah!
Go on.
Yeah!
What a goal!
That's well taken.
What a goal! Oh, I love that so much. That's what we've been waiting for. That's what we've been waiting for. Magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. Well done, Ish. Look at that big smile.
Oh, that's a great goal. It's Kiko into Deeney. Deeney gets the assist. Lovely ball from him. Reminiscent of the Deeney-Igalo relationship there.
Reminiscent of the goal against Liverpool.
Oh, great finish.
Just a lovely, lovely ball through. Great weight from Deeney.
Second touch.
And it just bounces over the goalkeeper's arm. It's a hell of a good goal, that.
Been very, very critical of Ismaïla Sarr, looking like he's been lacking a lot of confidence and not quite knowing what he should be doing with it in when he gets into those dangerous areas. Well, not a bit of it there. What an absolutely stunning, instinctive finish. And you can just look at him now, just in the seconds after that, the sort of the body language and everything is just vastly improved. And I know that's it's very reductive, so he doesn't look like he wants to be there, but he has looked like he's found it tough. And just straight away seeing him take that goal and just the look on his face and the way he holds
it was
himself.
Relief. It was relief in his body language. Like,
here we go again.
Go on, Zhao.
I mean, also, I think it's made a big difference to Deeney. I mean, if you're a player that expects to really contribute and all you're really doing is taking penalties, suddenly to put such a good quality ball in and see the goal scored, you just feel like you've really made a big contribution to the game, and that will help his confidence as well. I mean, I'm not sure that he lacks confidence, but you know what I mean. And, I think, you know, that was just... The angle, I mean, it wasn't a great angle for Sarr, was it? And he had a postage stamp to aim at and he hit it.
Yeah, so putting Troy Deeney's place-kicking career on hold, it was Bobby Helfield was the answer to the question.
From the rookery end.
There we go, gentlemen. It was wonderful in the end, wasn't it? There was nothing bad about that game. No tensity, no nothing. Watford 2-1 winners over Stoke. A late goal in the 82nd minute from Stephen Fletcher. Certainly put us on edge. And Colin constantly looking at the clock and telling us exactly how many minutes were left, Colin. Thank you very much for that. But I suppose, you know, we've talked about the game and what's happened and the goals. It was just back to front. Barkman was in goal. He had a couple of great saves. Yes, the goal went in. But, you know, he really is, Jason. Really, it's going to make it hard for Foster to come back in again, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Today was probably his most difficult game so far. I think he didn't have too much to do in the first two games that he's played. But I think, yeah, today he had some saves to make. Perhaps they were at a nice height. They were close to him, but he slept to make them. They came at him pretty quick. And you've got to make those saves. We've seen goalies make mistakes. We've seen Fozzie, unfortunately, has made a couple of mistakes this season. And there was none of that from Backman today. What I also liked at the end there, when I think it was a loose through ball from Stoke, he dribbled the ball to the sort of back corner of the 18-yard box and waited for the striker to come along, just to wait a few more seconds. So we know Fozzie is the master of the dark arts when it comes to time wasting, but it looks like Mr. Backman has a few tricks up his sleeve as well. So kudos, Daniel.
Yes, absolutely. The goal, Mike, performances from the defence. Messina had a great performance in part of his return to this Watford squad full-time. But generally, you know, we saw the substitution of Cathcart for Sierra, clearly, because we can make those substitutions, the number we can make. It was wise to take off a man holding a yellow card. And it didn't go too bad for that change, did it?
No, I think it's a brave move, isn't it, to sort of alter what looks like a relatively solid centre-back pairing. It's you know, it is the foundation, really, of the whole team, isn't it? If your centre-backs are confident and in control, then everything kind of stems from there. So it's a brave move to mix it up. It's the second game in a row there's been sort of relatively wholesale changes as the game progresses. And what you get with Craig Cathcart, we saw it on Tuesday. He got the ball, it was on the Watford right-hand side. Barnsley player bearing down on him. No nonsense, he passes it out. Absolutely, you know, when in doubt, put it out. And that is Craig Cathcart to a T. So, as you rightly point out, Sierra Alta on a yellow card. perhaps accepting that Stoke are going to come more and more into the game as it wears on, bring someone in like Craig Cathcart who isn't walking that tightrope of perhaps getting sent off. So he went for it, and yeah, slightly disappointed. It's a nice little dink in for the goal, a nice little ball over the top, little weighted, just used the ball came onto his foot and just lifted it over, and Stephen Fletcher did what he had to do to get the ball into the back of the net. Disappointed there was that amount of space in that area of the pitch. When you're 2-0 up, you just want to be snuffing things out.
It was a lovely ball through, though.
It was a nice ball, but I think that you want someone there. Where that ball landed, you want someone there just to get rid of it. And whether, I don't know if it was Cathcart who came out a little bit too soon and allowed the ball to go over the top. Perhaps we're nitpicking a little bit, but I think, so we did concede and made it. Well, you know, certainly for me, who I'm the worst person to watch football with, as I mentioned earlier, it made it a sort of more stressful 15 minutes than we might have hoped. But what Watford did do well, and led by that defence and led by Daniel Backman, was they actually saw the game out pretty well. You know, we feel it, you know, we're talking right after the game and the adrenaline sort of slowly seeps out of the body and we calm down and we come to terms with what's happening, and as you're watching it, it's all like, they're almost going to score. And they did have that chance, a sort of header at the back post right at the end, where you probably should have done better. But largely speaking, they did okay, didn't they? It wasn't panicked, really. It wasn't too Haysom Jasim. It wasn't too awful. I wonder if the Watford TikTok account will get anything out of that last sort of 3 or 4 minutes. Probably not, will they? It was all right. And I think ultimately that defensive unit has served us well so far this season. It's been the one consistent good thing that we've been able to sort of hang our performances on, and as it proved again tonight. So yeah, even with the changes, I think that's something that we can be confident with. Craig Cathcart, a seasoned international coming in at centre back to replace someone who's playing really well, isn't a bad thing, is it?
Jason, up front, we were slightly critical of Troy. I couldn't quite see what he was adding to the game. Given the man the match, but in the end, on the Sky Sports coverage, had a much better second half. I mean, put that ball through for Sars' goal, took the penalty and scored that as well. But, you know, it is that sort of thing where he was able to put his stamp on the game.
Yeah, and I think that sort of followed the pattern of the team as well, because I thought we came out in the second half with a little bit more tempo about us, a little bit more desire to get higher up the pitch. We were pushing a little bit more, and Troy, as we sort of grew into the game, I thought Troy grew into the game as well. Obviously scoring another penalty is going to give him even more confidence. We were nervous about the penalty for the reasons we mentioned earlier about where he's going to put it, but he did what he does. He got the goal, and then you could see both he and the team's confidence grew. And the second goal, obviously a fantastic goal from Saar, but made by that well-weighted pass from Troy Deeney. We've seen the way he's playing with Pedro up front. He's the one that seems to be dropping deep. So he's in that position. He's found that space to receive the ball, and he's made it count by playing such a good ball through for Saar to run past him and then finish with real quality.
And it was lovely seeing a quality goal like that, one that comes from, you know, let's say a beautiful ball coming through. And as we've already spoken about, it can only be a thing that lifts the confidence of Ismaïla Dessart and lifts the pressure he might be feeling on his shoulders. Colin, you know, I suppose we also look at this side as individuals in terms of the players as a whole, but we haven't talked about Cisco in terms of what he's adding. You know, we're finding out a bit more about what his Watford team will look like. And for me, the most important thing was the fact that we kept our heads against a tough, physical Stoke side, which is what we come up against quite frequently in the Championship. Not Stoke necessarily, but physical sides. But almost like that mentality of the team is really starting to, I don't know, I maybe it's not starting to shine through, but it's definitely making me feel a bit more confident in it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's a number of things that Cisco seems to have brought to this group of players. One is he clearly trusts all of them. He's made 9 substitutions out of 10 in the last 2 games. So he's picking from a bigger pool. He's trusting players to come on. His game management is good. I thought tonight, one of the things that impressed me was that we really stood up to them physically. We didn't let them bully us. We had a pretty torrid first half where we couldn't really get our foot on the ball and control the play. But and they had a lot of the ball, and they weren't knocking balls, high balls in, but they were using their strength to try and get on top of us. And actually, we were able to stand up to them really well. Then at half time, they go in. Munoz says whatever he says, gets them going, and we come out and we play at a much higher tempo, and we're able to create the opportunities to score goals. He seems to have brought a lot more energy to the squad. We defend with more energy and more dynamism. We are willing to get forward in numbers. Okay, not in the first half tonight, but in the second half, once they started to tire, we were able to get players forward and create opportunities for ourselves. They're playing with smiles on their faces, I think. Even if it's not literal, you get the sense that they're playing with smiles on their faces. They seem to want to do that little bit extra for the new head coach. Like, they'll just put a bit more in than they were under the previous coach. And that is a great thing in the Championship. They seem together. They seem unified. Players are coming off the pitch. They're running off the pitch so that the new guy can get on and keep the game going. We saw the game out pretty well, as Mike said tonight. We had a couple of moments. There was a header right near the end, which was a whisker wide. And it would have been, I think, unfair had we not won that game, because I think on that second half performance, we deserved it. But that's three Championship wins in a row. And I think that this Guy Munoz is really starting to see a little bit of him, of what he wants. He talked in the pre-match on Hornet Hive about his passion. He said, football without passion is nothing. And he's played football until quite recently. He's a passionate guy, and he's starting to feed that passion into those players, those young players particularly, revitalise the senior players, get them to do that little bit extra that they might not have done a few weeks ago, a little bit of extra running, because he says, look, when you're tired, you can come off. He took Cleverley off, brought Wilmot on tonight, because Cleverley had a bit of a clash with one of the players, probably, you know, at his age, it hurts, and you think, but, you know, it's like, don't worry, you're fine, come off, Wilmot comes on. He's got all these players, and he's happy to use them. It seems like a unified group. It is quite exciting times. I know at half-time we were a little bit low, because it wasn't great, but he's turned that, and he's turned it into a good second half performance, which has led to another win. So I think at the moment it's all positive about Munoz.
Bit by bit, they're getting better. And I think that's what we were lacking under Ivic. We didn't see that. Yes, we were sort of nicking the occasional result. And yes, we were staying in touch, but we weren't seeing that upward trajectory in terms of the performance. And I think Colin's right to make the point about how the players are interacting with each other and just their general demeanour. The energy does feel higher. Just watching, as we talked, there's the replay of Sarr's goal, which was an absolute beaut. What a joy to see a nicely worked goal. Goal of the season, I would say, so far. But just the reaction of Troy and him afterwards, just discussing it and enjoying it together. And there is a lot of that. Before the game on Tuesday, there was a lot of camaraderie, obviously. There was Pedro and Chalobah were dancing their way out to the pitch. And these are little things, but they speak to a side who is enjoying themselves a bit more. And with talented players, if they're enjoying themselves, there's a higher likelihood, I think, of that talent coming to the fore. And it's interesting, isn't it, to look back about 45 minutes, an hour ago, 50 minutes ago, we were pretty despondent at half-time. But now, looking at it, having taken a breath, that was almost the perfect away performance, wasn't it? Go in at half-time level, have enough quality to get ahead and then stay ahead. And I think the good thing about Huddersfield on to Barnsley was that Huddersfield was OK, got the result against a weakened side, then played a better side against Barnsley and had to be organised and on it to win it. And they did, and they looked better. So the home performances, those two got better. And then this was almost the perfect away performance. And so finally, it feels like they're clicking into gear. They're by far and away, they're not the finished article. We can't sit here and put a cigar and say, well, there's the Watford we've been waiting for all season, because I think we're still having to work very, very hard to get a foothold in games and still having to work very, very hard for their goals. But it feels like they're sort of, the cogs are just clicking slowly forward, and that tension is getting stronger, and the whole unit just feels more able. And that's what I've enjoyed about this week. We've had three games in a week, and we've won them all, which takes doing at any level. And the fact that they're getting slightly better with each one is hugely encouraging. We've been here before. We know not to get too overexcited, because we just know that, you know, the next game could, you know, Tuesday on Millwall, it could be, we could be back to square one. But the fact that finally they're getting that incremental improvement, and some of our better players are starting to look more and more confident, it's a nice way to start the weekend, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very nice way to start the weekend. And a stress-free weekend it shall be, which is always quite good for the wife and everyone that's around me, and all of us, I suppose. Thank you for joining us on with us Friday night, just hanging out with the lads, having a couple of beers and chat about football. And we'll be back with another podcast after the Millwall game in the week. Michael, thank you very much for your time.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all.
And Colin, I don't want to say thanks to you because you made the game much more tense.
Sorry about that.
But thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jason.
Yeah, to be fair to Colin, I thought Mike was making the game far more tense towards the end there. We were getting a typical parking performance for the last 10 minutes, but all was good in the end. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, three games on the trot for Watford. Hopefully that's the new normal for the Hornets as we go forward in another fantastic season. Well, that's what we're calling it at the moment. Thank you for listening, and do follow us on social media at Watford Podcast on Twitter, Facebook and on Instagram. And you never know, we might find ourselves on TikTok at some point. Maybe not. Come on, you boys! You ready yourselves? The Athletic.